pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And now we just pray that as we hear your word afresh, that you would open our eyes to see, that you would give us ears to hear, and that you transform us more into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, blindness is not something any of us would desire. But for 285 million people worldwide, it is a way of life. I was reading a blog by a woman who is losing her sight, and she described what her experience was like. She wrote, "The most destructive part is the feeling of incompetence. As somebody who's naturally not very organized or orderly, the new way of interacting with the world can get really hard. I've broken or cracked more than half of my set of glasses by knocking them down or dropping them. I vacuumed up electrical cords because I forgot to check on them. I've walked into people by accident, and I'm afraid that they hold a grudge against me." Blindness entrenches people in this world of darkness, where it's impossible to see the world as it really is. But it's not just physical blindness. It is also spiritual blindness that is just as destructive. You know, every human being is born blind. But unlike those who are physically blind, they don't perceive that they're blind. They don't realize that they're blind. They have eyes, but they can't see. They run into things and over people, but they don't even know it. Spiritual blindness is just as chronic as physical blindness. And especially for those that, whether they're unbelievers or who are Christians, everyone has areas of spiritual blindness. So turn in your Bible today to John chapter 9 as we discover more about this topic of blindness. So in John chapter 9, we have an account of the healing of a blind man, but in reality, it's the story of spiritual blindness. So Jesus approached a man who had been born blind, and at that time, there seemed to be a belief that people who were born with some kind of disability like this, it was assumed that it was because of sin. And that's why the disciples asked Jesus, well, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he ended up this way? And Jesus' response corrected them by saying, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but it happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." And maybe these words sound somewhat familiar, especially if you're thinking of the Exodus story, because God said something very similar to Pharaoh just before he leashed all of the plagues on Egypt. And he says, "I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power." Now, at first, it seems as if Jesus is referring to the miraculous healing that he was about to do. But the work of God released that day had less to do with this physical healing and more about revealing the human heart. So consider the various reactions to the miracle. The Pharisees hardened their hearts. The parents of the blind man refused to attribute the miracle to Jesus, while the blind man embraced Jesus and gained his sight. Spiritual blindness is very serious because it can mean not recognizing the Son of God even though he's standing right in front of you. And therefore, it's important to be able to identify it. So what is spiritual blindness? It's not just those who blatantly reject God, but even religious people can be blind. Consider these three characteristics. First, spiritual blindness exists when humanly conceived laws, rules, or traditions dictate how God is supposed to act. So long before Jesus, the Old Testament prophets had predicted the miracles that the Messiah would carry out. In Isaiah 35:5, we have announcing that the eyes of the blind would be open, that that would be a sign that the Messiah was amongst us. And as spiritual leaders, the Pharisees would have known this because it was their responsibility to investigate any claims that were brought to them for the welfare of the people. Well, rather than reflecting on the scriptures, they offered excuse after excuse for why Jesus' actions were inappropriate that day. Since the miracle took place on a Sabbath, they immediately assumed that he could not be from God. Jesus hated man-made religion, which elevated ritual observance over human need. Humanly concocted rules come in different forms, but they still operate today in the church. So today there's often a belief that miracles don't exist anymore now that we're past the age of the apostles. Now that we have the Bible, we no longer have need for miracles, is the argument. And so it's no wonder that we don't see miracles in the church, because nobody expects to see them anymore. Today there's a humanly conceived belief that Christians aren't supposed to suffer. And then when they do, it's no wonder that people begin to question whether God loves them or cares for them anymore. Today there's a man-made belief that the life of faith is a relationship between me and God, and the church's primary role is to feed me. And so it's no wonder that people see the church as something optional, and so many move from church to church without ever making a real commitment. Humanly conceived beliefs and rules limit God's power to human expectation. Our observance of them will make us spiritually blind, because they prevent us from seeing what God is really doing. Here's another characteristic of spiritual blindness: being closed off from learning new things, becoming largely unteachable. The Pharisees had so convinced themselves that Jesus was not from God that they did everything in their power to prove that the miracle didn't happen, even though their own investigation showed that the man had been born blind. They still wouldn't believe it. And rather than considering the possibility that Jesus could be from God, they kicked the former blind man out of the synagogue and labeled him a sinner. Their spiritual blindness impeded them from seeing the true power of God that had taken place that day. They were not interested in seeking truth. They thought they had God all figured out. And because Jesus didn't fit into their paradigm, they demonized him. You know, this should be a warning to all of us. You know, we like to surround ourselves with friends who agree with us, read articles that express ideas that we believe in, follow news programs or podcasts that express our views. But be aware, it's easy to be entrenched into a secular belief system that we mix up with biblical truth. We assume our beliefs are God's beliefs, and then when challenged otherwise, we take offense and become unteachable, just as the Pharisees were. Here's a third characteristic of spiritual blindness: the presence of fear when confronted with the truth of God. It was not just the Pharisees who were spiritually blind in John chapter 9. The blind man's parents were as well. Under pressure from the Pharisees, they refused to acknowledge that Jesus had healed their son. Acting as if they were completely ignorant of what had taken place, they told the Pharisees in verse 20, "We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but how he sees, we don't know. We don't know how his eyes opened. Ask him. He is of age. He'll speak for himself. And the text said that they feigned ignorance because they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. They loved their connections with their families and friends and their traditions more than they loved the truth. All spiritual blindness operates with an underlying fear. It occurs when the consequences of proclaiming the truth triggers more terror than choosing what is right. The spiritually blind will easily capitulate under the threat of suffering, rejection, loss of relationship, or offending others. Now, none of us want to offend people. None of us want to lose friends or look stupid. And yet, we put other people's judgments above God. And when we do that, we are acting with spiritual blindness. Now, if it is true that all people are born spiritually blind, how do we move from darkness to light, from spiritual blindness to having spiritual sight? Well, spiritual vision requires a person to be recreated or to be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, that whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so our response to Jesus will determine if we are blind or if we can see. Just as the sun can soften butter or harden mud, so Jesus has radically different effects on the lives of people depending on how they respond to him. While the Pharisees revealed their complete spiritual darkness, the blind man began to see clearly. Now notice that before Jesus healed the man, he proclaimed in verse 5 that "I am the light of the world." And then he did something strange. He made patties of mud, and he placed them on his eyes. Now, Jesus could have simply healed the man and said, "You're healed," just as he did with other miracles, but he wanted to teach something that day. Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, saw in this a symbol of humanity being created from the ground as he was in Genesis chapter 2. The contact of the soft mud to the dead man's to the dead eyes had the potential to bring life. But he first had to wash in the pool of Siloam. The washing would serve as a kind of baptism that washed away his sins. The blind man would not only gain his physical sight, but he would acquire spiritual vision as well. Jesus was demonstrating that no one can have spiritual vision on his own. Everyone is spiritually blind. And to have spiritual visions, humans must be recreated so that they can see. Jesus came into the world so that humans could be set free from darkness and given new spiritual eyes. He is the light of the world, and apart from him, we will walk in darkness. Now, growing in spiritual sight requires obedience and loyalty to Christ, no matter the cost to us. So after Jesus had anointed the eyes of the blind man with blood, with mud, he told him to go and wash in the pool. And without hesitation, he got up and he did exactly as Jesus told him to do. And he came back seeing. Spiritual sight means living in obedience to the voice of Jesus. And as we obey, we gain new insight. Now, after Jesus left this newly healed man, he endured all kinds of pressure. The Pharisees interrogated him. His neighbors, who had known him his whole life, questioned whether they could really identify this man anymore. And even his parents distanced themselves from him. And yet, even after the Pharisees slandered Jesus, branding him a sinner and threatening to expel this former blind man from the synagogue, he continued to insist that it was Jesus who healed him. And this is truly remarkable, and it cost him dearly, because he would be cut off from the Jewish religious community and their sacrifices for the rest of their lives. He was a Jew, and yet he wasn't able to live as a Jew anymore. Spiritual sight gives you the ability to see things as they really are. It puts all of life into perspective. You can obey and stay loyal to the Lord because you have the eyes to see things that others around you can't see. Each day we face all kinds of pressure to disown Jesus. Having spiritual sight will give us the courage to be obedient, no matter the cost. Spiritual vision also grows as we testify to the truth about Jesus and his kingdom. Now, it is no accident that Jesus asked the blind man to wash in the pool of Siloam. The word Siloam means mission, word means he sent, or maybe our English translation might be missionary. And so it's literally the pool of missionary, if you will. And so having insight means understanding that you live in mission, that we are called, we are exiles in this place, and we're called to be to have a mission in this world. Well, after his healing, the healed man began to see what this mission was that he was being called to. As he increasingly testified about Jesus and what he'd done for him, he began to receive new spiritual insight. Initially, Jesus was just a man in verse 11. And then later in verse 17, he considered him a prophet. In verse 32, he became a unique servant of God. And finally, when he'd been thrown out of the synagogue because of his testimony, Jesus sought him out and he revealed to him that he is the Son of God. That he is the Son of Man, the one Daniel prophesied would be given glory and power, and whose kingdom would never come to an end. And so with complete spiritual vision, the man believed, and he worshiped Jesus. If you want to gain more spiritual sight, if you want to be able to see things as they really are, then testify to what Jesus has done for you. Our testimonies matter. They're not just words, but they're our identity and they're who we are. And they make us the light of the world. And as you do, you will be given new eyes to see. Now, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, you likely still have areas of your life where the light of Jesus has not yet fully infiltrated. Recreation is a process that we participate in with the Holy Spirit. And this Lenten season provides us with a wonderful opportunity to come into the Lord's presence and ask him to shine his lights in those areas of our hearts. Listen to what the Lord shows you, and then obey whatever he puts in your heart. Don't suppress it. Obey. Living in the spiritual life is not a work of our own intelligence or strength. It is God who initiates it and who perfects it, just as he did with the blind man when the light of heaven shined into his darkness. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we confess that we all have areas of blindness in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to be able to see what you want to change in our life. Some of you may have never invited Jesus to come into your life to recreate you. Today's a day when you can ask him, say, Lord, open my heart, Lord Jesus, and make me into a new creation. Make me born again, that I might see. If that's you, just listen to his voice and do exactly that. And for others here today, you may have walked with the Lord for a lot of years, but you're still close to him in certain areas of your life. And just allow him to speak to you where those areas are. Forgive us for putting our confidence in our competence and intelligence and strength in